Lug Notes here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to continue talking today about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. I started discussing this passage of scripture, just three verses, and the title of my conversation yesterday was, Have You Not Heard? Have You Not Heard? And I talked about that passage in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31 that says, Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths can grow tired and weary, and young men, they sometimes stumble, sometimes they even fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. And we just talked yesterday about just how powerful that is. And if you're weak today and you're burdened, this may be the scriptures for you that you just need to get, write them out, type them out, whatever's best for you, and place them in your bathroom mirror, a copy of it, maybe on your refrigerator, by the coffee pot, in the dashboard of your car, on your laptop, and just read those throughout the day to draw strength from the Lord. We also, I shared two things that kind of spoke to me from this passage of scripture. One was we all have times when we are weak. Just a reminder that we are going to be weak at times. It doesn't mean we're a bad Christian or we lack faith. And Jesus talked to us about it, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The second thing that I shared with us yesterday, and I want to continue discussing that today, is who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? What voices in your mind come to mind? And are they God-honoring voices? Are things that are bringing you closer to God, giving you strength? Well, if you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and you can catch that 14-minute program. But I want to continue the second point about who are you listening to. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says, Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. And friends, if I'm honest, a lot of times I don't do that. I get busy with my to-do list, and I've kind of got my head down, and man, there's dust just flying up from the how fast I'm walking or driving to the next meeting or appointment. And yet, I think God wants to show me where He's working sometimes in conversations and meetings I have, even with people around me that are even not intended appointments or people that I had on my agenda, but where God wants me to speak a word of hope or encouragement to them, or maybe they want to speak a word of wisdom to me. But we've got to learn to slow down a little bit, and we've got to learn to listen. I think it's interesting. I heard a speaker say one time, kind of interesting that God gave us two ears and one mouth. So if you think about that proportionally, that means that we should listen twice as much as we speak. That kind of stung me a little bit because I'm an extrovert and I like to talk, but I've really been trying to grow in the area of listening the last few years. You know, there's an old proverb that if you keep your mouth closed and talk little, you're considered wise. If you open your mouth, you remove all doubt. And so I've never forgotten that. And for some of you today, maybe you just need to do an inventory and just say, Lord, am I guilty of just talking too much, rambling too much? And one thing the Lord really prompted me one time was I really thought I had some wisdom to share with somebody. And so I did. And they weren't very receptive to it. It really kind of bothered me because it was some really good advice and really felt like I'd heard from God on it. And logically, it made sense. It was biblically lined up with God's word, the wisdom I was trying to share with this friend. And the Lord just kind of clearly told to me as I was trying to process it the next day and a little disappointed, was like, you know, I would encourage you, Greg, you don't need to offer wisdom, even if you're right, unless you're asked. And that's hard because I like to help people and I want people to learn from my mistakes. And I sometimes get guilty and still get ahead of God. But maybe that's a word for somebody listening today that you like to kind of, you maybe you have a gift of discernment or wisdom. And sometimes, though, we don't need to offer that, even though we may be right. And just let that person ask us. And I think that's one of the greatest compliments we can get when somebody asks our opinion. So food for thought, as my dad used to say, food for thought is something to think about. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 also says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Friends, that goes back to just my previous statement. Maybe sometimes we need to ask more for advice. And I'm one of those people, I do like to process things by talking about them. But then I also really want to try to ask the people. I've got a handful of people in my life that I go to when I have to make some big decisions and share with them what I'm looking at. But I simply say, what do you think? What would you do if you were in my situation? And I read a great book. It's a simple book, not real long, but it was called The Best Question Ever by Andy Stanley. Read that probably over 10 years ago, maybe close to 15 by now. And the premise of the book was, the best question ever is, what is the wise thing to do in light of my future hopes and dreams? What is the wise thing to do? And, you know, a lot of times I don't want to hear that. But, you know what? It's good to get wisdom. Learn from other people's mistakes. Because we could cause ourselves or prevent ourselves from having a lot of heartache, couldn't we, if we did that? And I know that so many times in my life, I wonder, you know, what should I do? What should I do? Where should I go? And the great thing is that God, one, in the Bible, if you're like, you know, I don't know who I can ask. The book of Proverbs is a tremendous book that will give you a lot of wisdom and help you to learn how to make good decisions. Also, learn from your own past, but usually all of us know one person that we can call and ask. But I want to encourage you, maybe start reading Proverbs, whatever the day of the week is. There's 31 chapters. There's not always 31 days in a month, but if today is the 16th, and I'm not sure when you'll be listening to this, so it may not be, but then you can sit there and read chapter 16. And it has been amazing. I've done this off and on throughout my life over the last 20 years and how God will speak to me. And I'll have something underlined in my Bible totally differently this time than I did when I read it maybe 5 years ago. And so I want to remind you again, in light of your future hopes and dreams and from your past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? Is a great question to ask yourself when you've got to make an important decision. And God will help us with that. And he puts people in our lives to do it. A lot of good pastors I like to listen to, Rick Warren, Jim Cimbala. I like to listen to Andy Stanley, David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley. Andy's dad is really, really good. Joseph Prince. There's just a lot of great pastors out there that can help fill your tank. And I want to encourage you to be filling your mind with that, with God's word and what other people, not just what other people say and do, but what they try to offer to you. The third thing that came to me from this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31 is wait is not a bad four-letter word. Some of you just now getting that, but we all grew up and, you know, there are certain four-letter words that we weren't supposed to say, and you know, profanity, words of profanity. And yet, I think a lot of us put wait in that same category because we don't like to wait. But Psalm 37, verse 7 encourages us that that's really a good trait to have. And it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their evil ways. And if I'm honest, sometimes I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I want it now. As little kids, you know, you hear them say, now, I want it now, and mine. And yet, I've kind of found that God is often not in the same time schedule that I am. And, you know, I've said this example before, but, I mean, if I got a choice between a meal that's been cooked in the microwave, maybe took 10 or 15 minutes, or some that's been in a crock pot that's taken several hours, I'm going to choose that meal in the crock pot every time because there's just the flavor. It's just so much better because it's taking its time and all the natural flavor and the juices and the spices that were put on it. It just tastes so much better. But we live in an instant credit microwave society, don't we? And we can order things online and have them delivered the next day or two. And there's nothing wrong with that other than that I think that God's taught me more in my seasons of waiting for answers than when things happen immediately or quickly, because then sometimes I get this false impression that maybe Greg had something to do with it instead of it being a blessing from God. And I heard a pastor say one time, God is much more interested in your character than your comfort. And that stung a little bit because living here in America, I thought, well, man, it's all about my comfort, really. I mean, if God's wanting to bless me, it'll make sure that I'm comfortable. And God does love to bless his kids. Make no mistake about it. And some of them he blesses with tremendous financial resources, and he loves for his kids to enjoy things. But the main reason he gives us tremendous financial blessings is to be a blessing to other people. And so I want to encourage you, if you're waiting for an answer right now, God may be working on your character a little bit. Psalm 119, verse 84 says, how long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? Some of you listening right now are thinking, amen, I heard that. Man, I'm tired of being persecuted. God, how much longer have I got to wait for you to take care of business? You said in your word, God, that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Well, God, how about a little less talk and a lot more action, to quote the great theologian Toby Keith. The fact of the matter is that God may be working on something in somebody else while we're waiting. It may not even be all about us. And then I love Psalm chapter 130, verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Ooh, that's good. Read that one more time. Psalm chapter 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word, I put my hope. When it says my whole being waits, I mean, that means everything, body, mind, and soul, and being still and not trying to make yourself busy and just trying to say, God, I trust you and I'm not going to manipulate things and try to make things happen. And then I love the last part of that verse. It says, in God's word, I put my hope. And I want to ask you today as we close out this program, where's your hope? Is it in your circumstances, your bank account, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren, your job, how good your golf score is, what your financial portfolio looks like, what you look like in the mirror, what kind of car you drive, what neighborhood you live in, what level of education you have? I mean, there's so many things that we put our identity and our hope in, and yet all this is temporary. So I want to encourage you today, maybe to write that verse out, Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here. Need help selling your home? Or are you looking to buy your dream home? Let Diana Fields and her team with the Millennium Real Estate Group at Keller Williams Bluegrass Realty help you. Serving Central Kentucky in real estate and property management for 21 years, Diana Fields and the Millennium team have the experience to help you with one of life's biggest decisions in buying or selling a home. Contact Diana Fields today at 859-621-0604 or online at millenniumlex.com. That's millenniumlex.com.